Okay, hope you've had a good break. Let's come back to some of the things that get in the way for writers, some of the things that keep us from writing or that keep us from enjoying writing. And one of them that comes up a lot is what's sometimes called imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is sort of for a writer is like, no matter, how many people say they like your writing, or how much evidence you might have that your writing is good, you still feel like you're not a good writer, you're a terrible writer, you don't know what you're talking about. So imposter syndrome is a complicated topic. Well, there's a lot to it. A lot of times it's not, first of all, a lot of it is just normal. It's very normal to have days when you just feel like I am not good at this, and I don't know why I ever thought I could get good at it. So having some days like that is really just a totally normal part of the process. The people who actually first identified imposter syndrome have since said it really should be more called imposter experience, because it is a normal thing that comes up, especially when you're learning something that's that is at your growth edge, that is, you're not maybe great at it yet. A lot of imposter syndrome is also just caused by, like, some people are just really jerks. I mean, like, some people will put you down and tell you you're not talented, or you're not good, or you're not capable. And it's just gaslighting. They're just telling you something that's just not true because they've got some weird motivation of their own. But it's important when you're thinking about, like, the inner critic, about kind of those voices in your head that pop up and say, why are you even doing this? Why do you think you could be a writer? It's really important to see that, recognize it. It's just part of the game. You definitely don't have to, like, stop it down or repress it. That'll often make it stronger. Just realize that we all have good days and bad days, and everybody's got their own mix of those. So first thing to recognize, it's normal. Don't let it, don't let it throw you off. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done. So one of the things you really want to do is get that support for your creative work. So this is not necessarily going to be your partner, like your life partner. If that person is not a writer, and maybe even if they are a writer, they're not necessarily, like, it's not their job to help you through the tough days on your writing. Maybe you have a person in your life that's good at that, but they could be a very good person and not be very good at that. So, again, your friends who don't necessarily write, you always run that risk of one of them saying, "Are you sure? Like, why do you even do this? Maybe you should just not do this. Wouldn't that be less painful?" They're not trying to be jerks. They're just asking a question because they don't do this and they don't understand. So get that support community. Make friends with other writers. That's a big part of what this group is here for, is to give you the support. When you have, like, a structure, someplace to show up, good days and bad, it's much easier to just stick with it, and get through the lean times. And then, of course, especially now the world is really intense. There's a lot of difficult stuff happening. We're all dealing with difficult things with pandemics and politics and all the rest of it. And so that could just contribute to a lot of exhaustion. And exhaustion, when you're tired, it's hard to keep that creative confidence. So as much as you can, and it's definitely not always easy, but as much as you can, give yourself some moments of just peace and silence. Take them when you can. Really be willing to carve out that time. One thing you can do is you can look at ways that you might be distracting yourself because you're exhausted. That might not be very nourishing. Like, maybe it would be better instead of, watching that, like, cop show that gets you kind of jangly and uptight. Maybe it would be more relaxing to, like, take a bath and listen to your audiobook. you know? So think about, are there some ways that you could carve out some moments of peace and relaxation and calm and taking care of yourself? And I want to encourage you, because something that's tricky for a lot of writers is embracing creative selfishness, because you're going to be taking time away from someone else. You're going to be taking time away from maybe your kids or your parents or your job or your friends. You're going to be taking time away because writing takes time, and you know, doing creative exercises takes time. So I want to encourage you to embrace that creative selfishness. It's healthy. It's good. It's good for the other people in your life, for you to be able to be a little bit selfish sometimes about some things. And I always tell people, if you're in a situation like you have real little kids, or you have just a job that's like a disaster, sometimes you're in a situation where you are with people who do not have any boundaries, and you cannot say, you know what, I need 20 minutes to myself. Can I just get that? Sometimes you can't get that. And then I always tell people, take your writer's journal, your notebook, into the bathroom, because nobody knows what you're doing in there. And if that's what you need to do, you know, then do that. And you think I'm kidding, but sometimes that's what we have to do, right? Thankfully, if your issue is little kids, they do sleep sometimes. Another way to work through just that kind of imposter syndrome feeling where you feel like your writing's never going to get good enough, and you get really worked up about not feeling good and confident as a writer, is think of yourself more as a craftsperson. Think of yourself more as somebody who's like a carpenter or, you know, a house painter, something like that. Someone who, it matters that what you do with craft, but it's not so fancy. It's not so serious, right? I think because writing involves language, and, you know, we've got Shakespeare, and we've got all the great writing that has influenced us, and all the great work that writers have done, we tend to take it really seriously. And if you take yourself too seriously, you're going to start to get a little bit blocked. So think of yourself more as just someone putting together a piece of craft, and it can help you put it in better perspective. You know, nobody, like, I think that carpenters don't really get carpentry block, you know? I mean, they're not always happy. Like, they make a piece of furniture, and then they look at it and they're like, I'm not sure I love that. I can see all the flaws, but it doesn't mean that they don't ever want to make furniture again, usually, right? And we're going to think in this course about good enoughness. So there's doing work to a good standard that is your standard. And we're all going to develop for ourselves. This is my standard. This is my publication standard. But that is not the same thing as perfection. And it's never going to be perfect. And there's always another piece of writing to do. So learn to, and we'll help you do that, learn to say, this piece is good enough. It's going to go out into the world. It's going to do what it does. And then I'm going to work on the next piece. And that that momentum will really help carry you through the tough days. And also just developing that consistency of writing and then polishing and then publishing will do more for your confidence than anything else. You'll just prove to yourself, yeah, I can do this because I do this. Like, I've shown myself that I do it. And finally, I want to talk about just getting a little bit of distance from yourself as a writer. And again, because writing involves language, it's really easy to get into this thing of my writing is me. And so then if somebody says, I don't like that piece of writing, they don't like me. And they don't like me fundamentally. They don't like who I am as a human being. You know, like I, you know, I opened my heart and soul up to you and you just threw it away like it was trash. Okay. This is why we get blocked. Right? We get into these loops. So I want to talk a little bit about writing persona. This kind of throws people. So if you're sort of like, I have no idea how I would do that, do not let it hang you up. If you're just feeling like, I'm not sure this is right for me right now, don't worry about it. You don't have to do it. But if you can do it, it's very useful. And that is to think about the person who writes, let's say you're writing a blog. I'll give you my blog. The person who writes my blog posts is not exactly me. It's like a fictional character who has my name and who looks exactly like me and uses my photograph and who lives the same place I live and has the same job I have, but it's not me. There's all kinds of elements of my personality that are not in that content. It's a fictional character, just like some people write, let's say, write a memoir. David Sedaris, another writer, I think he's just wonderful. There's a lot more to David Sedaris' personality than the person writing that, the character who's telling that story. So if you can think of yourself as a fictional character, you're not necessarily going to share every single detail of your life. They're not all equally interesting, right? So you don't necessarily, I mean, if you had a piece of writing that was just literally every thought that crossed your mind every second, that wouldn't be readable. No one would be able to read that. Nobody would want to. So we all edit. It's good to edit. It's normal to edit. So thinking of yourself more as like a third party who just by coincidence happens to look exactly like you can help you not get so tied up with, are people going to judge me? Are people going to think I'm dumb because I wrote something and they thought it was dumb? Am I going to publish this piece of content and then I'm just going to feel like all this shame and misery because people maybe don't like it? Getting that distance. And I would encourage everybody now, because we are going to be talking about writing something to publish, even if you're publishing it, you know, on social media, that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to encourage you to start thinking about what's in your persona and then what ways is that persona maybe a little different than you. So that persona could be a little more confident than you are. You know, that persona could be a little more patient than you are. That persona could be a little more, you know, some quality you admire. Maybe you could just turn the dial up on that just a notch, so that you're kind of bringing forward like a best version of yourself. Not so idealized that it's just a falsehood, but the best version of you. So thinking of yourself in that way will really help you write more consistently and write with a little bit less writer's stress. Now, those of you who do client work or have some other interest in writing for another person, one of those things that mental habit of kind of separating yourself from this character who writes your work is sometimes you can pass the mic to you can sort of pass the mic to another person. You can write in someone else's voice. This is tricky to do. This is very tricky to do, but you know what? Writers do it all the time because, fantasy writers are not, they don't actually know any dragons or elves or hobbits or wizards. They don't actually know any of those people. They've had to make them up. Someone I know asked a really famous mystery writer where he came up with the idea for this character. And the writer said, I made him up, Daddy-O, you know, and that's, you're going to make things up. But you want to make them up in an informed way. I remember one time I had to write a little bit of content for Copyblogger I was ghostwriting for Darren Rouse, who was one of our partners in a project, and he's Australian. And so letting myself write in another voice. Now, was I so good at it that like his wife read it and said, I can't believe this isn't Darren. I don't think I was that good, but it was good enough that we published the piece under his name and people read it without comment. And people didn't say like, I really think this is not Darren. And this is also a good way to play with writing is write some content as your dog, write some content from another point of view. That's a great way. That's a great exercise. And honestly, there's some people who have made great commercial successes promoting their businesses with newsletters that were written by their dog. I mean, I know that sounds really bizarre, and it is bizarre, but it's also interesting and it works. So be willing to adopt another persona. James Chartrand of Copyblogger was one of the very early regular weekly guest writers at Copyblogger. James was writing as a man. James is actually a woman. Johnny B. Truant, another regular writer for Copyblogger, writes using a pseudonym. And I know Johnny decently well. The Johnny persona is exactly like the real guy, but he is more confident and he's more willing to just put his opinions out there and not like second guess them and hedge them and hem and haw. So there's a lot of ways to write in a voice that's either very different from your own or adjacent to your own. And then, for client work, of course, it can be really important. Maybe you're going to write the letter from a CEO. Maybe you're going to write podcast scripts for an executive. So one of the things you want to do, if you're writing in a voice of somebody you don't know their experience very well, you've really got to spend some major quality time with that kind of person. The more socioeconomically different that person is from you, the trickier this exercise is going to get. So if you're writing about somebody from a different culture, the amount of time you need to spend immersing yourself with people from that culture is really substantial. It does happen. It just depends on, and this is quality time, spending time with people, interviewing them, listening for their rhythms of language, writing down their rhythms of language, getting media, So if you want to write from the point of view of, let's say, somebody who lives in a different country, I would start by getting a ton of media, films, television from that country. Okay. So that's, today was a little bit of a lighter day because we really talked about concepts. And then starting tomorrow, we're going to really do a lot of stuff. So let's talk about homework again. We talked about it before the break, but let's just review it. Grab some kind of a physical notebook, or at least like a little stack of index cards. It can be very, very trashy. If you have a beautiful blank book and you think I'm going to finish my beautiful blank book on this course, that's cool. But sometimes when we get beautiful, beautiful blank books, we get a little bit like, oh, it's too nice. I don't want to put my stupid idea in this nice book. I'm going to ruin it. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow in a lot of depth. But just grab a notebook and you will fill it. Start just adding an idea or two to your idea stash. Start putting a couple of ideas in there. It's not like a contract, I'm going to write this post. It's just a possibility. Start writing down 5 things you notice, and you're going to do that in that notebook. Or you can do it in your phone and then transfer them to your notebook. And then decide on a writer for that writing you love exercise. And then starting tomorrow, we're going to start playing with that a little bit more. Okay. So tomorrow is the Portable Writer Studio. This is going to take any notebook at all. It does not have to be fancy. And turning it into a studio in the same way that a painter has a studio that they go to make paintings. This is your studio that you go to make writing. And so it's going to be full of exercises and scribbles and ideas, and it's going to be very messy and it's going to be very, very creative. And again, this is a practice. I have people who have taken this course they're on their third time taking it. There might be somebody on their fourth time taking it, and they still keep this practice up. It's just really fun, enjoyable, and something you can do forever because it's infinitely flexible. All right. I will see you all tomorrow for the Portable Writers Workshop. We do have time for questions. So I'm going to, again, end the recording here. If you want to dash out and just grab a tea or something, you can. I'm just going to give you a minute to do that, and then we'll come back if we have any questions. So yeah, let's end the recording here, and I'll see you in just a minute.